There were dueling sing-alongs at the state capitol yesterday, and we'll talk with two different guests about both of them this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, on this Tuesday, July 30th. The Solidarity Singers have been holding their noon hour sing-along at the state capitol rotunda for a couple of years now, singing pro-union and anti-Walker administration songs. But just recently, when a federal judge ruled that the state could enforce a rule that required a permit for such gatherings for 20 or more people, the police began arresting protesters by the dozens. Yesterday, there were dueling sing-alongs. A pro-Governor Walker group calling itself the We Got a Permit Singers took to song in the state capitol rotunda. And so the Solidarity Singers held their sing-along outside on the Capitol grounds. The organizer of the counter sing-along, David Blaska, conservative blogger David Blaska, will join us after 7:30 this morning to tell us that it was simple for him to get a permit, and he thinks that the Solidarity Singers should get a permit and follow the rules. And in this half hour, we will talk with a writer for the Progressive magazine about why the Solidarity Singers don't believe that they should have to ask permission from the state to exercise free speech. And we'll welcome your answer to this question. Do you think that the Solidarity Singers should have to get a permit to sing their protest songs at the state capitol? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Rebecca Kemble. She is a writer for the Progressive magazine. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I know that the most recent piece I read from you, Rebecca, was about your parents being arrested last week at one of the sing-alongs. Tell us what happened.
That's right. That was the first day on Wednesday that they actually started arresting people there. And they had been warning folks in the rotunda. And first of all, I want to clarify something. You used the term Solidarity Singers about four times in your intro there. And people who participate in the noontime gathering don't call themselves the Solidarity Sing-Along. They call themselves participants in the event of the Solidarity Sing-Along. And that turns out to be a really crucial point because there is no organized group. There is no leader. It is an event that has taken place over 700 times over the last 2.5 years. And there's no organization. It's a spontaneous gathering of people, many of whom are the same. Some are more regular than others. But, for example, yesterday there were 240 people. Some days there are only, 15 or 20. So it's a very loose affiliation of folks who go to the Capitol to express their grievances against the government.
Well, I'm glad that you clarified that. So it's participants in the Solidarity
Sing-Along. Solidarity Sing-Along.
Yeah, and the reason why that is so important is
because it's not an organization that could even file for a permit. Would your friend file on behalf of me? Would I file on behalf of the unknown number of people who are going to come and from where? I mean, frequently tourists come to the Capitol and hear the singing and talk to folks and, want to understand what's going on, and sometimes they'll pick up a songbook and start singing. Would they be arrested, or should they file for a permit? And what if that person, is the 20th person? So it's all very, unlike Mr. Blaska's group, which is an organized group, he even came up with a name, and he has his associates, and he is a self-identified leader, and that's his choice, and that's what he wanted to do, fine. But this the Solidarity Sing-Along is of a different order.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't know if there's going to be 20 people and a permit will be needed or not. Why?
Right. You asked about
Your parents. Why did your parents decide to risk arrest?
First of all, the week before, the Capitol Police officers came into the rotunda at about 12:30. And made a very general announcement that couldn't really be heard by anyone. And it almost seemed as if they weren't trying to be heard. And that rotunda is built to be a speaking platform, and there are places to stand. In fact, they're indicated by diamonds set in the floor in the rotunda of where to stand to have your voice project the most. And this, you know, when the building was built at the beginning of the century, that was the intention. Here's a public forum for people to come and stand on their soapbox and address their government. And the police know that, and the police know where, the police know how to get people's attention. And even with without any megaphone or electronic amplification, you can stand at this. If someone stands at the center of the rotunda, waves, and you know, asks for quiet, you can very easily, one person, make an announcement that the entire rotunda can hear. They didn't do that. They spoke. They stood in the first couple of days. They stood sort of on the outside and read in a soft voice that even if you were standing in front of them, you had to really sort of crane your neck to hear a statement that vaguely said, we have determined that there are more than 20 people in your group. Disperse. If you don't disperse, you're subject to arrest. Now, number one, it was unclear. I mean, one would assume that they meant the people singing, but did he also mean the people holding signs? Did he also mean the people watching? Did he include the legislative aides who were just looking on? Did he include members of the press? Who knew? It wasn't clear. They made their statement, left, and they did that for several days in a row the week before, and Monday and Tuesday of last week. And so my parents have been participating in this group as they can, in the event, in the sing-along, and they had heard that those announcements were maybe made and had heard that the police might arrest people, but they weren't really ready, prepared for the actual arresting, because they were, you know, 5 days in which announcements were made and no arrests were made. So on Wednesday, when they made the first arrest, they were just there doing what they do from time to time. And as they saw many other people being arrested before them, they felt that they needed to stay in the rotunda singing to keep that voice up. And now, you know, a lot of what people sing about, some of the song lyrics include lyrics having to do with the heavy-handed use of force by the Department of Administration to really quell the speech of this group. So they felt it was important to keep singing some of those songs to keep that space open, and they were among the last to be arrested on Wednesday.
Rebecca, are you covering this as a journalist, or are you also participating in the solidarity?
I'm mostly covering it as a journalist. Once in a while, I haven't really participated for over a year. I used to. I'm a mandolin player, and on Fridays they play outside, and people bring instruments, and so I would bring my instrument and play. But right now I'm just writing about it. In fact, I started writing for the Progressive, not covering the sing-along per se, but covering events at the Capitol in the spring of 2011, because I was covering an angle that wasn't being covered by the mainstream media. And folks where I was getting a lot of inquiries about my notes and pictures and photo essays I was putting up on Facebook, and the Progressive magazine eventually decided to ask me to write for them because they felt they were getting a different kind of news from my reports than they were getting from the mainstream newspaper or radio. So I hear a hint of there's this issue of bias that a lot of journalists who cover protests are accused of, and I feel that we're all biased, and I just happen to be a lot more open about what my biases are, and I feel very strongly about our constitutional rights and First Amendment freedom to assemble and freedom of speech, and I am going to report and amplify the voices of those people who are fighting for that wherever I can.
I just wanted to get that on the table and clarify that. We've talked to the editor, Matt Rothschild, following his arrest at that was the the signage issue that was going on at the time. So just wanted to get that on the table.
Yeah, the Progressive, I mean, our name says the Progressive. Right. We say we're a left-wing magazine. That's what we are, and we're covering issues from really protection of civil rights point of view, promotion of civil rights. And what we see in Wisconsin is really, it's chilling. It's quite chilling.
Well, we will talk more with Rebecca Kemble. She is a writer for the Progressive magazine and website. We're talking about the issue of whether or not participants in the Solidarity Singers need to get a permit or not. And we're also wondering if you think that the police crackdown on the sing-along is warranted or not, and your general observations and questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking in this half hour with Rebecca Kemble. She is a contributor. She is a writer to the Progressive magazine. We are talking about the issue of whether or not groups should be getting permits to protest at the state capitol. There's been a crackdown on participants in the Solidarity sing-along at the state capitol over the past week or so. Lots of folks, dozens and dozens of folks, getting arrested for protesting without a permit. And we will talk with a guest coming up after 7:30, a conservative blogger, David Blaska, who organized a dueling event, a We've Got a Permit Singers, which held a pro-Walker rally yesterday at the state capitol. Our lines are full, so let's go to the phones. Mark in Montello is with us. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think this is a left-wing, right-wing, Democrat or conservative or any other kind of issue. I think classifying it as such would obfuscate the facts. This place belongs to these people, the Capitol, the grounds. It belongs to the people that are singing there, with or without a permit. However, this is a scheduling issue, and we're a nation of laws, and if we all showed up on the state Capitol grounds and started singing, that would not turn out too well. Signs or whatever, on Main Street. We should be able to be allowed to do anything we want in this country, as long as it doesn't infringe on the right of others. That building is theirs. It's also mine. It's also yours. It also belongs to everybody else in Wisconsin, listening or not to this radio show. So we have to get a permit. It's a administrative function. It's not quelching someone's right to speak. We have the right to speak. We have the right to assemble. We should file with the right folks and tell everybody, hey, on this date, at this hour, from this time to this time, we're going to raise whatever we raise at this location.
All right. Well, what is the response to that, Rebecca?
The response to that, Joy, is that that's a fair enough point, but you don't need a permit to do that. You need a scheduling or a reservation system for that, not a permit that carries with it legal penalties and fines and restrictions. I mean, if you have to ask permission from the government to protest the government, you don't really have the right to protest the government. So there are ways to do that. Chief Charles Tubbs, who was the chief of police until last year, did a great job of working with the participants in the sing-along to let them know when there was a scheduled event in the rotunda, and the singers just go outside. Their intention is not to completely occupy the Capitol and overtake it. Their intention is to use that place when it's available to express their grievances. And, you know, I've heard of a lot of opinions about this issue, but they're not well-informed opinions because the information about the permitting scheme itself and this latest judge's ruling hasn't really gotten out there. It's, the ruling is a complicated ruling. I sat through the entire hearing, the injunction hearing, and what Judge Connolly said was he didn't sort of direct the Capitol Police to start arresting people. Mm-mm. Actually, what he said was, this was a temporary injunction hearing. What he said was the plaintiff, Michael Kissick and the ACLU, have very good grounds in this case for overturning the rules completely when it comes to trial, that it's possible that the permitting scheme in its entirety could be ruled unconstitutional. But what he was ruling on in this injunction was some very narrow issues. And he said that it was the rules were unconstitutional in terms of separating out political speech and rallies from any other kinds of events. And he also said that it was ridiculous that police were saying that people in groups of four or more needed a permit. And he spent a lot of time during that hearing asking folks, what is a reasonable size group? And Chief Tubbs actually, and Chief Sue Riesling, the University of Wisconsin Chief of Police, who was in charge of the Capitol during the occupation, both of them said, well, 700 people could safely be in that rotunda and without a permit, as long as they're all acting well. I mean, and the problem is when people behave badly, and then you use, you know, your legal means, and you use policing activities to deal with that kind of bad behavior, but you don't need a permitting scheme above and beyond that to maintain public safety. And so it's possible that this entire scheme will be thrown out and judged unconstitutional in January when it comes to trial.
Yes, but the judge did say that the state could enforce these rules if 20 or more gathered without a permit?
Yeah, he said he raised it from 4 people mm-hmm. to 20 people, and just as kind of as a placeholder until the entire the entire thing comes up for in trial.
And the when you call it the permitting scheme does in some way hold the permit holder, the person who gets the permit, responsible should there be any damage that occurs?
Yeah, yes, and legally liable, and it holds the state of Wisconsin harmless in the event if a police officer hurts someone, it holds the state mm-hmm. harmless from that, so no one can sue. If there is a permit, so David Blaska yesterday, he would be legally liable if someone completely unrelated to his group came in and caused some trouble or damage or hurt someone. He would legally be held liable by signing that permit for other people's behavior.
So how
the question is, why do you need this mm-hmm. whole other level mm-hmm. of regulation in a building that is considered a public forum, a traditional public forum, when you can just use the laws that everyone else is subject to on the streets?
Clyde in Denmark is with us. Hi, Clyde. We're running short on time, if you can be brief.
Yes, I wish I could be in Madison to protest in the Capitol, but I can't. I want to point out that Governor Walker's meetings and news conferences he holds around the state are private also. They're unannounced, so people don't know that they're going to be. They're held at private businesses, so no protesters can go, and they're screened audiences. He's scared of the public, and he does that all over the state.
Yeah, so, thanks very much. Rebecca, it is the belief of many participants in the Solidarity Singers that the governor just wants them to stop singing. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's true. And they have, you know, they started singing when they saw how their government just railroaded through Act 10 despite the hours and hours and hours of public hearings on it, that they were not listened to, that their representatives in state government were not listened to. There were over hundreds and hundreds of Democratic amendments to that bill, to the budget repair bill. Zero of them were adopted or even listened to. And since then, it's really only gotten worse, that the Republicans have Blaska talks about the Solidarity sing-along having a stranglehold over the Capitol Rotunda. Well, the Republicans in this state have a stranglehold over our legislative and executive branch, And that's documented. That is well documented. Looking at all the laws that have been passed over the last 2.5 years, that there is no, except on, you know, maybe just a handful of bills that don't really matter all that much, that there are some feel-good consensus bills. But yeah, that's in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bills that have been passed. It's been party line votes, no Democratic amendments. And that's not listening to people. That's not listening to people's representatives. And so folks feel like, wow, are we really, this is the sort of last public space where even any kind of information or voice offering an alternative vision for society can be heard in public anymore. And it's really kind of sad that it's coming down to struggling over a piece of ground 1 hour a day for the voices of alternative policy and visions for, you know, moving forward in society are heard.
We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you very much, Rebecca Kemble, for being with us. Rebecca Kemble is a writer for the Progressive magazine and website. We'll check news and then we'll welcome in David Blaska. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, July 30th. In our last half hour, we talked with a writer for the Progressive magazine and website, Rebecca Kemble, about the ongoing controversy involving participants in the Solidarity Sing-Along at the state capitol. The Solidarity Sing-Along participants have been getting arrested by the dozens over the past week or so. And we're talking about why they don't think they should have to get a permit to protest at the state capitol. Now we'll get a different perspective on this issue from David Blaska, a former Dane County supervisor and organizer of a counter rally that took place yesterday, a dueling sing-along that took place yesterday in the state capitol rotunda. They called it We've Got a Permit Singers, which held a pro-Walker rally yesterday at the state capitol. And David Blaska joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So We've Got a Permit Singers. What was your point, David?
It's so easy. It is so easy to get a permit, and it's so easy. It costs nothing. I applied Friday morning, filled out a form online, printed it out. A point of advice to the Department of Administration, it'd be nice if I could file it online, but you got to print it out and mail it in. I drove it in. And they asked for your name, a contact telephone number, an estimate of how many people are going to be there. I put down 40 question mark because I don't know either. I couldn't guarantee that anyone would show up at that point. Later that afternoon, I was told, yep, it's approved. There's no conflict. No one else is scheduled. You got it. Go for it. I did not have to put down what the subject of our gathering was. And certainly, you know, it was what you call content neutral.
Well, were you at all concerned that you might be held liable should one of your permit singers, you know, kick and break something?
For two reasons. First of all, you know, the people that I associate with are law abiding, and they don't do that kind of thing. You know, they're not cases. They don't associate with. But the other thing is, I talked to the police beforehand and right before the event, and you know, they said, no, you know, if there's any trouble, let us take care of it. I said, absolutely. I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to make a little pointing motion, like over the head, saying, this fellow here is causing a disturbance. Good. That works. However, I can understand why if you have an event and then all heck breaks loose and they trash the place, police would like to have a contact person. Do you know anything about this? Did you see anything? You know, it would be the height of irresponsibility for them to have an event and not have a name or a contact telephone number.
Do you find anything weird about a group that, regardless of what ideology the group has, having to ask permission of the government to protest the government?
No. You have to do that for the city of Madison if you want to have a parade, if you want to have a march. I realize that a lot of times, you know, especially on State Street, that permit is not granted. But I actually went through the permit process. I decided not to have the event. I was going to have a tractorcade during the height of the occupation of the Capitol and the liberal intifada. And then the police wanted to know how, the streets department wanted to know how heavy are these tractors, you know, because they were worried about the concrete and the pavement. So, but you had to go through that. I mean, they want to know, are we going to close things down here? Look, if I say I'm going to bring 100 people in here, they're going to have to put in maybe an extra police officer or two, because they also have many tour groups coming through. In fact, there are kids that day. We were not allowed to use the ground floor of the rotunda, which the Solidarity Singers have been using without permit for 2.5 years now. All this is on the what they call the first ring, and well, it's the first floor, but it's the where you walk up the steps on the outside, except no one does, and it's that area that you're allowed to do this.
What's your response to Rebecca Kemble said that this is not an organized group. The Solidarity Singers is not a formal organized group, that they call themselves participants in the Solidarity Sing-Along because they don't know if two people are going to show up or 200.
Well, neither is the We Got a Permit Singers, which previous incarnations has been the Blaska Tabernacle Choir, Walker Solidarity Singers. I changed the name at whim. And I go on Facebook, maybe I get a little free media, and I say, who wants to do this? And it's not an organized thing, except that, I'm saying, let's do it. Someone did do that. I know that, in fact, I've got a souvenir. I'm sure there'll be one in the State Historical Society as well, a songbook, Solidarity Sing-Along Songbook. Heavy on Woody Guthrie, by the way.
Yeah, well, so...
So they're organized. I mean, they're no more or no less organized than my little effort was yesterday.
Yeah, but they say that, again, they're not. Nobody is a leader of this group, so who's going to apply for the permit?
Anybody. I mean, I don't know if I was the leader. I kind of thought of the idea, but at a certain point in time... a wonderful voiced man and woman took over the singing. Someone brought in some Twinkies. Someone made some buttons up and some signage. So, and this is people doing these kind of things. So, I've never seen Joy so much whining over such a small request. And somehow they're making it sound like this is an assault on the First Amendment. The fact of the matter is, it's well established in law, and the ACLU attorney would have to admit that you can have reasonable regulations as to time, place, and manner of speech. You can't have a brass band marching down a residential neighborhood at 3 a.m. That's not free speech. That is disorderly conduct. That's disturbing the peace.
So this is it for your dueling sing-alongs? You just wanted to make your point that it's easy to get a permit?
Yeah. And that the other thing is that there's other voices out there. You know, this Capitol... is not their private domain. I mean, I feel sorry for Rebecca Kemble when she says, well, we have to do this because Republicans have a stranglehold on state government. We've gone through 3 election cycles now. 2010, the recall elections of 2 years, which I counted as the second cycle, and then the November elections, the Republicans have been elected to state office in this. You know, the height of democracy. So, yes, they can have their voice, but to suggest that they are petitioning their government for redress of grievances, I have yet to see a list. All this is a low-grade guerrilla action from some sore losers who were not satisfied with the results of 3 democratically held elections.
David Blaska is our guest. He was the organizer of yesterday's We've Got a Permit Singers Sing-Along, which was held in the Capitol, State Capitol Rotunda, while the Solidarity Sing-Along, which usually is singing in the rotunda without a permit, went outside on the Capitol grounds. There was no incident. There was no problem, was there, David?
I had a cat caller from a radio personality,
it wasn't me. Let's make that clear. Right?
Yes, no, it wasn't you. You wouldn't be so. No, have a Twinkie. No, and I did the pointing thing, you know, over the person's head, and I think they took him away. You know, it was shouting while I was trying to speak, and I always found that curious, to be honest about it. I was not taking questions at that point. I was trying to get the thing underway.
I did hear about a man who was holding a sign. I don't know what the sign said, but I think it was the article in the Constitution,
right,
guaranteeing free speech. And he was approached by Capitol Police and told to put down his sign. He wouldn't put down the sign and was taken away with the restraints on his wrists,
yeah.
But he was not arrested. I don't know if there are second thoughts about that or not. Do you think that was appropriate?
I saw the man with the sign. It didn't bother me personally. Now, I don't know what transpired, but I was in the middle of the group, literally. I mean, they were singing around me, and so I didn't witness him being taken away. So I don't know what he did, Joy. I really don't. Otherwise, he didn't bother. He didn't disrupt. But here's the thing. This is what Rebecca Kemble and her Solidarity Singers want. They want to push the Capitol Police and push and push and push and test and test and test and get little things like that. And so there's a picture on the web. I guess somebody had a flag, and in the ensuing arrest or whatnot, he dropped the flag, and a police officer accidentally stepped on it. Well, now they got what they want. They got, and then there's some guy, maybe he's got a military service jacket on. Whether or not he's a veteran, I don't know. He gets pulled aside. Well, now they're arresting veterans. This is what they want, and it's a low-grade guerrilla action. They can't win at the ballot box in Wisconsin, so they're trying to make life as miserable as they can for Scott Walker. And it's really, that's all it is.
Well, we have Sarah on Facebook who says, I am puzzled why the Capitol Police / Walker feel the need to crack down so hard. It's increasing the number of protesters, and arresting the elderly makes the administration look mean and foolish.
I think it makes them an equal opportunity arrester.
David Blaska is our guest, and we welcome your thoughts, your questions, your comments for him.
I mean, if old people want to act foolish, that's fine, too. Sorry.
I do have to take this break. We can follow up on that point in a moment. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are getting the second of two sides in the dueling sing-along controversy that happened yesterday. And our overall question is whether or not you think that the Solidarity Singers, which have been singing protest songs at the state capitol in the rotunda for the past 2.5 years, should have to get a permit to do this or not. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joan in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Joy. I know that in the U.S. Constitution, the reference to free speech is not restricted by obtaining a permit or the requirement to obtain a permit. Now, my question to your guest is, does the requirement for a permit appear in our Wisconsin Constitution in order to exercise our right of free speech? And I apologize for getting off topic on this a little bit, but we on the left, your guest can say all he'd like about us whining that we lost elections. And correct, the Republicans have persevered. They've won. But let's talk then about the gerrymandered districts.
Yeah, we really can't get into that right now. But
I know what her point is, though. She feels that the Democrats have been jobbed by the redistricting. I'd only point out that the Republican legislature we have now is almost exactly the same numbers as it was in the districts that were drawn by federal judges in the year 2000. They were elected in 2010. They were reelected with the new maps in 2012. It's still 18-15 in the Senate. It's 60-39 in the Assembly. It was 60-38-1 before these gerrymandered districts. So, and in 24 of those districts, no Republican was on the ballot, so they got zero votes. So, but let's talk about the Constitution. I've made my living for most of my working life on the First Amendment. I was a working reporter for a daily newspaper and editor, very low-level editor. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. I had to pay $50. I had to have my background checked for criminality. I had to fill out a multiple-page form I had to take a classroom course before I could get a permit to conceal my weapon, which is guaranteed under the Second Amendment. I could very well say the Second Amendment is all the permit I need. Some of my gun-carrying friends do say that. I think the regulations were reasonable, and I complied with them.
Yeah. Somebody will, like our caller might say, the voice and expression is different than a gun.
It probably is. It probably is. But the gun can assure the continuance of that First Amendment. It's the safety and the freedom from not only foreign domination but domestic despotism. It is part of the Constitution, whether you like it or not. And it's been ruled as such by the U.S. Supreme Court finally, I think it was last year, even to the point of a federal court, appeals court in Illinois saying, Illinois, you have to allow concealed carry. You can't be the only state that doesn't. It's constitutionally invalid to prohibit this.
Yeah, but back to though, the freedom of speech. A lot of the protesters will say that it says there should be no law to infringe on the freedom of assembly or the freedom of speech.
Right. So, and it also says all the Bill of Rights, they say that. That is, the Bill of Rights, all 10 of them, are prohibitions against the federal government interfering. But as I've said before, the courts have well said that that it is permissible to regulate in regards to time, place, and manner. I can't yell fire in a crowded theater, for instance. That's a famous dictum from a Supreme Court decision.
Chris in Reeseville is with us. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Yeah, I just had to get a burning permit to have a campfire in my backyard, and that's on my private property. This is in public property, and you're talking about a group of people. I don't think it's that unreasonable. And I tried to take my family to the Capitol one day and it was a hassle to try to take them up to see where our representatives was. At the time, Roger Roth was a friend of mine. We went to visit him, and it was a big hassle because there was so many people, and they were not in any manner of politeness toward bystanders who weren't in their gang.
Yeah, and so you're saying if they had a permit, though, then they would have been okay?
I'm saying that the permit is not an unreasonable request. Mm-hmm. And I signed the recall against Walker because I thought that his, you know, power grab was overreaching. But this is not unreasonable given the enormity of the occupation of the Capitol building.
Yeah, well, David, you...
Well said. I think that's well said.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris. Emma in Madison. Hi, Emma.
Hello. I would first like to say that for those people who haven't been to the Capitol, the people who sing are in a small area. Wherever you want to go in the Capitol, it's really easy to get there. But I want to say that if you want to get a permit, you need to have an insurance carrier or bond company, and you have to have that policy.
That's not true.
That's what it says right on the permit.
I didn't have to.
State facility use permit application.
No.
You can look for it on the Internet.
I've got it right here.
Well, you didn't need to show proof of insurance
No.
or whatever.
No, it doesn't even ask that on the application. I've got
it
right here.
I'm looking at it right now. Joy, you can look at it on the Internet. And then it
What's the point then, Emma? Just because you...
Because then if you're an organization, you have that sort of thing. Otherwise, you don't. The other thing is that it does say in the policy that individuals or organizations are responsible for paying for state capitol police if there are extra police involved, are deployed to the area. And that's at the whim, the state capitol police or the governor or whoever. And that's pretty expensive. So, that's what the policy says. And the organizer, anyone who applies for the permit has no control over that. So I just want to say it's not just a simple thing.
Maybe it's on the permit application, but according to the permit that David just gave me, it says insurance required, and it says no. So I don't
And I was not asked for on the application. It didn't. But as I've said before here, if I start trashing the place, I'm sure there's some players in the regulation where they're going to say Blaska. And by the way, Rebecca Kemble in the previous half hour said, even if it's not related to the event, if there's damage, you're responsible for it. That is simply not true. You can't say things like that are not true. I understand the different opinion. I don't want a permit. Some of my gun-carrying friends, they don't think they should have to get a permit either. I understand that. But to actually promote falsehoods like that, I think is nefarious.
Well, what it says, Wisconsin State Facilities Access Policy, is that not for the Capitol?
It is for the Capitol. And I'm saying could be held liable, yes. If you start trashing the place, certainly you could be held liable.
Well, I mean, David, you can get the permit and hundreds of people show up and maybe counter-protesters should I be responsible
for
that?
No, and you won't be. That's what I'm saying about Rebecca Kemble. You won't be if it's unrelated to your event. You know, it's someone else is doing that, and it's very obvious. But if I've got some people in there and they've
But if some people who are on my side trash the place, then I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and that's why said, Dave, you know, if you got a problem here, point them out. And so these are not my people here. I pointed at the radio personality.
Well, then aren't you making the point though that the person who gets the permit is going to be held responsible?
Yes, I think there should be some responsibility for the activity that you have encouraged. If you are saying, let's come Solidarity Singers and come to the Capitol, as was done during the occupation of the Capitol, where basically people were encouraged to come in. And then they put things on the wall. There was not $1 million worth of damage. That was an overstatement. But is someone responsible? Are the unions responsible for the sleep-in and whatnot? Yes, of course they are. They encouraged that. They never went around saying, please, the police officers say we have to leave tonight, so please leave. No one said that. They were and then you had Rebecca Kemble's of the world saying, this is our right to do it because Republicans got elected in the last election, so this is the only way we can do it. So they're encouraging this. The Solidarity Singers, I just want to make it clear, Joy, have been, I think, the model of decorum to some degree.
Well, we have just a minute to go, so I have to ask you to be really quick about this. Do you think that there would be this this crackdown on protesters at the state capitol if they were a group like yours, David, without a permit, though, singing pro-Walker administration songs?
They've pushed this thing. First of all, even ours, you can hear our singing throughout the building, the way the acoustics are. It bounces off the dome. I asked way in other parts of the building. They could hear us, and they said we sounded great. So this reverberates through the entire building. No, I don't think, but you know what? People have decided they're not going to obey the law, and they want this cheap and easy martyrdom.
We'll leave it there. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure, on one of our shows, or maybe the Friday Week in Review. Thanks, David Blaska, for being here. David Blaska is a former Dane County supervisor, and he organized the We've Got a Permit Singers rally, which was held yesterday at the State Capitol Rotunda. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.